strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
All right, Wolf, laughing even before cue there. That's beautiful. He's ready to go. Wolf's ready to go.
Cracks me up every time, Paulie.
We know the crowd is ready to go out here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Absolutely a hearty crowd. I'm warming my hands off the energy from the crowd here. The table over by the fireplace, we're going to assess a premium, a little surcharge to that table, just to let you know. You guys think you scored, but there's going to be a little something added to your bill when it's delivered a little bit later. It is the Big Red Rage. You hear Calais Campbell. How about it, everyone? Calais Campbell joining us.
What's
as
going
always.
On, everybody?
All presented by Santan Ford. And two conclusions here. One, you grew up in Denver where it's like 0 degrees right now. Hence, you're wearing shorts. This is in your DNA. You're not really, no big deal. You're over here in shorts. Last week, you had flip flops on. At least you have footwear this week.
It's still cold to me, though.
Okay.
I mean, when I was in Denver, this was like shorts weather. Anytime it was over 40, I was wearing shorts.
You know, Calais, I'm feeling that you're regretting that decision right now, aren't you?
It's
just a little bit right now.
A little colder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, when you ordered black coffee, I got to tell you, I was like, I have never seen you drink black coffee, ever.
Yeah, but at first they asked him, what do you need? He's like, oh, I'm good. You're pretty low maintenance, you know that? In general, you're kind of a low maintenance. Unlike Wolf over here and most NFL stars, you're kind of a low maintenance guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I try to keep it simple. I don't need much.
I see. All right. Wolf, you know, the fuzzy red mittens over there, are those coming out a little bit later?
Yeah, it's not funny, okay. Paul. Speaking of high maintenance, you got to be kidding me. Paul Calvisi, ladies and gentlemen,
okay, that's enough.
The most anal human being on the face of the planet.
Totally uncalled
for. You really need to know that.
Just because I'm quarterbacking this thing. How you feeling? How you doing? You know, I know you guys didn't get a victory Monday for the first time in a month, so what's the mindset like coming off the loss in Philly?
Anxious to get back out there and regroup and get a win. I mean, when you play a game like that and lose it, you know, in the last seconds. I mean, that's hard, especially because we knew that, you know, we got off to a slow start and we had to fight for the win and, you know, get so close. But yet, you know, you don't get your opportunity at the end. It kind of sucks. But, you know, we'll bounce back this week, you know. It becomes must win now.
I was going to say, you know, you're 7-5 now. You know, 7-5, where 8-4 would have been your reward had you been able to beat Philadelphia. That would have been – that is a huge difference. You went from being in the pack to being the pack, so to speak, right now. And to me, that can do some psychological damage. How is the team doing this week, knowing that that was a big game?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we have enough veterans and guys who have had success to understand how it's played, you know. I mean, you know, we have four tough games ahead of us, but, you know, finishing 11-5 would, you know, is possible, and I think that would still get us into the playoffs. I mean, I guess technically.
Do you feel like, Calais, you guys need to win out? You feel like
I don't think 10-6 is going to get you in the playoffs. That's
amazing,
sure.
Isn't it?
It is amazing. No, it is, absolutely. And I don't know if you watch Monday Night Football every week, but did you see the scene in Seattle and what they did to the New Orleans Saints?
I did.
That was something to behold, was it not?
I did. That was an interesting game. I mean, at home, Seattle has so much confidence. It's crazy. I mean, I've never really seen a team with that much confidence at home against, New Orleans Saints are one of the best teams in the NFL right now. And that was just, it was a blowout all the way.
We're going to talk a little bit about this, actually a lot about the Philadelphia game, but just your initial impressions of that up-tempo offense, you know, Chip Kelly and what they ran. You guys didn't really seem to have many problems with the fast pace and the no huddle.
Yeah, the fast pace wasn't a problem for us. It was more getting off the field third down. I mean, you know, they had a couple of good plays drawn up against some of the blitzes we were doing, and then once we figured it out, I mean, we started shutting them down, but it was a little too late.
All right. We got a big guest coming your way tonight. He is an emerging star in this league, and he is really providing a dual threat at receiver, and defenses are starting to adjust accordingly. It was exactly what they planned when they drafted him in the first round. He is straight ahead. It is the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Gets hit as he throws far aside, but open is Floyd. He pulls it in at the 30-yard line for a first down. Is tackled there. Michael Floyd in one-on-one coverage wins his battle. Deep middle, open is Floyd in the end zone. He's got it. Touchdown, Cardinals. Michael Floyd able to keep both feet down. Fires deep, ball flutters, and Floyd goes up high. Oh, he caught it inside the 10 at the 9. Michael Floyd.
Michael Floyd again. Make a play down the field.
About five grabs, 99 yards receiving, a touchdown, and we have a holy cannoli stat we're going to save here momentarily. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. You're the voice of Ron Wolfley and Dave Pasch. I'm Paul Calvisi. Calais Campbell, your affable host as always. And go ahead, why don't you handle the intro now that we've done the foreshadowing?
Yeah, man. This guy right here, went to one of the most high prestige colleges there is. And got a lot of love there. And, we ended up drafting him in the first round. And, I was eager to see what he can do. You know, and I feel like this year he's really turned it on and is really showing why we drafted him so high. You know, it's my man with all kinds of hands, Michael Floyd.
How about a hand for the guy with the hands?
Michael, you went to West Virginia?
No.
You did?
No, somebody edit that out. Seriously. Can we hit the dump button immediately? Michael, how you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling pretty good, you know. Pretty chilly out here after being in Arizona, but I'm doing well.
See, that was my next question, right? Calais from Denver, but you've been here, what, 7 years now?
Six years.
Okay, so, you know, how long does it take the blood to thin there, Michael? Where are you? Because once upon a time in South Bend, this was nothing, right? I mean, you go out, I mean, come on, you'd be out in shirt sleeves in weather like this, right?
Oh, yeah, but once you get a year, you know, on your belt down here and you go up north, it's different.
It's one summer,
so this
really.
Weather right here is just.
I tell you, if you close your eyes, it's not unlike the sideline in Philly. You know, things were low. And then the sun went down in Philly, you know, a little bit. But that really wasn't an issue, right? I mean, Saturday, that wasn't an issue at all. Right?
It wasn't too bad. It was one of those things where, you definitely wanted to stay by the heater early on. But once you got your blood running and your feet going, you know, I mean, it wasn't that bad at all.
What are the perfect conditions to you guys? What do you like playing in, Michael?
In football, it doesn't really matter. You know, you still got to go out there and play the A game. But to be a wide receiver, you really don't want to have rain. But anything else, cold.
Cold, you're all right with that. Didn't bother you, not in the least.
Doesn't matter to me at all.
Doesn't like a cold football or anything? Doesn't make it any more difficult? Doesn't make it rock hard or anything like that?
Still got to catch it.
Don't you feel like? Don't you guys feel like when it's cold, though, you could run all day? I mean, just run all day. At least that was the way it
If I stay by the heater and then I go out. Yeah.
It's true. You know, he is in. I want you to read this stat here for me, Calais, okay? Because I've read it at least 100 times and it's still hard to believe, okay? The number is 20. Go ahead, read the stat.
20 consecutive receptions for receiver Michael Floyd that have resulted in first downs.
No.
His last 20 catches straight have all gone for first downs.
Come on.
That is mind bending.
That is crazy. That is awesome.
Were you aware of that?
Yeah, they told me that yesterday. But so Doc could always make fun of me for it. I don't know why, but he's actually, you know what kind of guy he is. But, you know, it's just, a compliment to me, making sure that the offense is staying on the field and hopefully scoring points at the end of the first downs.
How is he possibly making fun of it? I mean, I know he's all full of himself and his alma mater and Florida State's number one. But, I mean, what kind of issue is he taking with that? Or how so?
He's saying that, first downs, but, you know, they're not touchdowns.
I see.
You know?
I see.
You know, he's that kind of guy. But,
I see. Yeah,
you know.
Always wants more.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Michael, what is different with you this year from last year?
I say it all the time, and it's like the God honest truth, just being comfortable out there and getting more reps. And also the BA to, having confidence in me. That he knows what kind of player, you know, I can be. And, that just made me more motivation to get out there and, you know, play my A game and go out there and ball like I can.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. Oh, sorry, Calais. I just wanted to jump in. Bruce Arians, you were one of the first players he grabbed when he showed up here and brought into the office, correct?
Yes.
And what did he say to you, Michael?
He said he just wanted me to be, you know, a big-time guy. And he expects a lot out of me. And just like I expect a lot of myself and also my teammates do. And, you know, I'm worthy of that. And I just see that as, you know, a lot of motivation for me to be a big-time player.
Has he done anything particular to get that out of you?
He pushes me to the limit. You know, if I'm, you know, a lot of us sometimes be slacking in practice. Yes, you know, it happens sometimes, you know, when you're tired.
No.
But he pushes me to the limit. And even in film study, if I don't get the right depth, you know, he's always critical on that. Mostly everything I do is critical because he knows what kind of player I can be, and I know what kind of player I can be also.
And you know it's coming from the right place, right, with
yes.
the coach?
Yes.
And I would imagine that is absolutely critical. Well, let me ask you this. I think it was about maybe mid-November a year ago, right, your first year in the NFL. And at that point, you started, albeit a different offense, but, you know, it took a while to get in tune and in sync with the offense. I mean, that has to be critical. And you're, you know, maybe among many guys or maybe a lot of the offense, it just there was a bit of a learning curve, it seemed like, the first 2 months with the Bruce Arians system out on that field.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in this offense. And you're not just playing one position. And you got to know every single position out there. There's sometimes five wide receivers out there. And, you know, he might stick you in, you know, a place you're not comfortable in. You know, me being a bigger guy in the slot position. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not really me. But, you know, he sees a lot of disadvantages for us being me and Fitz to be in the slot and, you know, going against, you know, linebackers and safeties also who don't have, you know, good as feet as us.
Yeah, I'm curious what kind of confidence you think Carson Palmer has in you. I mean, going to you on fourth down, you know, with the game on the line, I mean, that was huge. And, you know, I think that might have been a call there. You know, I mean, we can't really, you know, put it on the referees or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, what kind of confidence you think that he has in you?
I think he has a lot of confidence in me. And, you know, going with them first downs, how many there are, 20, you know, I feel like every third down, and, you know, third down is a crucial down, he's coming to me. And, you know, he has confidence in me that I'll haul in the ball and, you know, I'll make a play for him and make a play for the offense.
That says a lot about you right there.
How about in the games when he's loose and he's in the secondary? You know, it's funny how some guys just kind of take a bad angle on Michael. You know what I mean, guys? You know, there's guys turning him down. You know, there's a lot more hand tackles that I'm noticing when he's loose in the secondary, Calais.
I think people don't realize what kind of burst he has. You know, he has a little quick burst. I mean, you know, he's a fast guy.
I totally want to talk about that, too, when we come back. I want to talk about that because I think it's one of the things that separates you, Michael, from a lot of the wide receivers that are in this game.
All I know is there was a scout on the field, and it was earlier this season, and he said, see, and he was pointing, and he was talking about you, and he said how you can take your game film now and put it right alongside the game film at Notre Dame, and it looks the same, that you are that same sort of playmaker you were in college, now doing it on the NFL level. Michael Floyd joins Calais Campbell. It is the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Back right after this. They show blitz of the Honey Badger. Let's see if they come. Now they snap it. Here comes the Badger. Back to throw. Falls in trouble. He's hit. And he's sacked by Calais Campbell. Back at the 45-yard line for a loss of 10.
Oh, Toddy Bowles dialing it up. Bringing the Honey Badger to the right of Nick Foles. Ran the twist up the middle. And the Eagles could not handle that blitz at all. Nick Foles was doomed.
Calais Campbell and Darnell Dockett meeting at the quarterback on that one. It is the Big Red Rage. Yes, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais Campbell, special guest Michael Floyd. So you give us your play-by-play, if you would, on that sack. You heard Passion Wolf. How about you? How would you take us through that?
It was one of those plays where it was you know, later in the game, you know, and we needed to play. And they were, you know, getting too many third downs already. So, you know, Coach drew a play or called a play that we ran in practice that I really like. You know, it works for me all the time. So, you know, I mean, I did what I was supposed to do. And, you know, like it always does, you know, it works. That's why I give Coach Bowles a lot of praise because he puts me in best positions to make plays.
You know, how do you guys feel you played defensively, Calais? Because Philadelphia, first of all, you look at their numbers. I mean, they could just flat out light you up. And they have. They put up all sorts of numbers. And yet at the same time, you guys did a nice job, except for three possessions that happened consecutively. And I think you probably know what I'm talking about. The last two possessions of the first half and then the first possession of the second half. What was working for them on those possessions? Because otherwise, I thought you guys did a nice job.
You know, I think, you know, we started a little bit slow. And we all gave up that, you know, quick points. But, you know, we still...
But that was off sudden change. I mean, Suddenly they had the ball because of the Carson Palmer strip sack.
Yeah, but even then, we pride ourselves on keeping people out the end zone.
Right.
You know? I think it works better when we start on offense, you know. I mean, the Eagles won the toss and deferred, so we had to take it on offense. But, you know, I like to go out there first and set the tone, you know. And I know that the offense likes that too, because sometimes they get short fields, you know. But in this game, I mean, I feel like we had a great game plan, and you know, I think we executed it for the most part. But you know, they had a couple of things that they kept going to the tight ends and blitzes, you know, and sometimes in the blitz, you know, the guy who's covering the tight ends on the opposite side trying to disguise you know, they come to the ball into their hands a little too quick, you know, before we can get there. But, you know, once we figured out, like, what they're trying to do on third down, I mean, we just changed the blitz up and, you know, came from the other side and I mean, they couldn't move the ball at all.
All right, so you mentioned the two words. I'll ask it here, and I won't go back to it. But the tight ends in the losses, 5 losses, 11 touchdowns by tight ends.
Wow.
any explanation on that one? And you know what? Chip Kelly actually made a comment after the game where he said, we tried to get them into their base defense to sort of get those matchups. And so I guess teams are now trying to angle with personnel to try and get the Cardinals in certain sets where they can then throw it at the tight end. And it's not just the Cardinals, obviously. I mean, these guys, you know, big, athletic. It is a tough matchup, period, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, and they have, like, 2 really good tight ends, you know. I think, really, you know, they have so many playmakers. I mean, our goal was to shut LeSean McCoy, you know, shut him down completely. And I think we did that, you know. And then DeSean Jackson was our number two threat. You know, and I mean, we want to keep the ball out of his hands, and we did what we were supposed to do. I don't think we really, knew the tight ends could perform the way they did, you know, and I didn't think that Nick Foles really would go to the tight ends. I thought, you know, he'd try to throw the ball deep, you know, and run the ball like they've been doing, you know, week in and week out. But, you know, they came with a good game plan. I mean, that's what happens when you get a bye week to prepare for an opponent, you know, get 2 weeks. They usually come with a good game plan, and, you know, I mean, I don't want to give excuses. I mean, I feel like, you know, I hope if we get to the playoffs, we get a chance to play them again, because, you know, I feel like we have a good, good formula for how to shut them down.
Michael, you know, there was a wide receiver that played here for the Arizona Cardinals for a long, long time. His name is Anquan Boldin. And Anquan still gets a plus. Anquan Boldin ran the ball after the catch as well as any guy, and still does an excellent job.
Ding.
But he ran it in a warlike fashion. He ran it with an intensity that belied his position as a wide receiver. And I don't think that Cardinals have had that since Anquan, and now all of a sudden watching you, I absolutely love to watch you play the position because you embrace the physicality of the game. Why are you so bellicose? Why are you so warlike?
I think it's just my job. And, if I got to get the job done and run blocking, kind of sort of just exactly what Anquan Boldin does.
Yep.
He likes being physical at the line. And, if you have a good running back there, you know, Ellington, Mendenhall, you got to get the job on the outside, on the perimeter, making a huge block. And also, I praise myself on making sure I don't get tackled by one guy. So
I do.
First guy got to miss.
I love watching your run because you can just see it. You do run in an angry way. And do you use that to your advantage? Do you know? Because these guys see film. They watch you on film. They know. And film is your weapon in this mm-hmm. situation, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and me being a big physical guy, I mean, as much as us wide receivers don't want to get hit, they really don't want to hit us either.
Oh, yeah.
So when we're going up for the ball.
Especially when you're dipping and ripping on them.
Yeah, exactly. And
you know what I love about your game? like talking to other guys on the offense and stuff. I mean, he's the one guy who really would get in a defensive back's face and talk trash to him. I mean, let him know that's all game. I mean, I love that because
it's
going
to inspire you guys too as a defense to see a wide receiver, right? And we all know when you think of a wide receiver, I'm sorry, Michael, but you're going to think of a diva when you think of a wide receiver, and you are anything but a diva when you get the ball in your hand. And I know that would fire up a defense watching a wide receiver go out there and rip on somebody.
It does. It really does, man. You see somebody like Michael Foy just talking trash and getting in somebody's face. I mean, it's like, okay, he's with it. So we got to get the ball back in our hands because we know get the ball in his hands, he's going to do something with it.
Michael, so you're a trash talker?
No. I'm not really a trash talker, but, if something's said to me out there on the field, I'm going to say something back.
Would you say?
I don't know if Calais was buying that.
Would you say you're mean? Because Larry Fitzgerald said today, he was asked, is Michael Foy now to you what Anquan Boldin was then? And he didn't want to compare you guys, but he did say that you have one thing in common. You're both mean out on the field, and he said, actually, for that reason, I'd probably be a better guest at Thanksgiving dinner, is what Fitz said, and he joked it off and all that kind of stuff. But you sort of have that sort of mindset of a defensive guy instead of an offensive guy out there, don't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, my mindset is, trying to beat that defender over me and getting my job done. And, we can be best friends off the field.
And after the game.
I could have been knowing him since I was 5 years old. Yep. As soon as we get on that field, it's a different man comes out of me.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to beat him.
Back right after this.
And here's a swing pass, and Tyrann Mathieu obliterates DeSean Jackson on the far side of the 48-yard line as he caught it. He was dumped immediately by the Honey Badger for a loss of about 3.
Man, sometimes you're the pitch, and sometimes you're the fork. And I got to tell you, David, DeSean Jackson just got tossed on a pile.
Wow.
Wow. Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, that was the reaction in the booth. What was the reaction in the film room? It is a Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, special guest Michael Foy. Does that get oohs and ahs when you're in the film room?
Oh, yeah. It's like rewind it again. We watched it play like 6 times every time.
What was that? I'm trying to remember that one. And was that one better, or was his hit Tyrann Mathieu on Brent Celek? Which one was better? Give us a little power poll.
Man, well, I mean, that would look cooler for, people who don't really understand football. But what he did to Brent Celek when he was blitzing, I mean, I told you before that I think he could be one of the best blitzing safeties in the game. And, I mean, he literally came through and gave him a little stutter and then punched him in his chest and knocked him flat on his back. I mean, it was nice.
So when you guys went ahead and looked at the film, Calais, and of course that was a huge pick that Nick Foles threw at the time. Put the ball by Patrick Peterson, right? Put the ball on the 35-yard line. You guys were down by 3 points at the time, 4 minutes to go or thereabouts in the game. When you looked at the film, was it holding by Tyrann Mathieu?
I don't think so. I'm not a referee.
But you're a big defensive lineman, right?
Yeah.
Michael, what about you? You saw it as well?
No.
No.
I mean, I saw it, but I don't believe that's a hold.
You don't believe that was a hold?
I mean, not in that situation, too. I mean, call the game consistently. And I don't want to be – I don't want to talk bad about anybody. But in a situation, sometimes I feel like it gets one-sided. If you're going to call something one way, stay that way the whole time. Don't switch it up.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it was on the other side of the field, and it seemed to be late. But other than that, it was a great call. Other than everything everybody just cited there, NFL games are so tightly contested, it makes it difficult, I mean, when you get a call like that, or maybe more than one, because I think 15 or so plays were sent into the league.
Yeah, Michael, how would you like it if the NFL said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to let DBs go ahead and put their hands back on wide receivers. We're going to let them do that. Forget about this illegal chuck, illegal contact downfield. We'll call holding and we'll call pass interference. How would you feel about that?
I mean, that's fine with me. I like being pissed.
Got no problem with that, right?
But yeah. You're going to be the exception when it comes to the receiver room, I'm going to guess, on that role.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
If the NFL wanted to bring balance back to the game of football, that's exactly what they do. That's the only thing they would need to do is do that, because now it would become much more difficult to throw the ball. That doesn't mean you can't throw the ball. Ask Dan Fouts. Ask Dan Marino. Ask Joe Montana and Jerry Rice. They threw the ball just fine with those rules in place as they were. It'd bring back balance in the game, and that would protect quarterbacks more than anything else that the NFL could possibly do.
I tell you what, as Wolf gets fired up over there, all right, and we'll give him a moment to get down off the soapbox, all right, instead of asking Dan Fouts, I'm going to ask Calais Campbell about a big experience opportunity coming up this weekend, all part of the CRC Foundation, all right? Give us some of the basics of what fans can do if they go to the website, omaze.com, and that is omaze.com/Cardinals, right? omaze.com/Cardinals, and starting at $10, it all goes to the CRC Foundation, so right there, you're a winner. But you do have a chance to win a great all-access experience to Cardinals-Rams on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, so it's like a $10 donation, and you get a raffle ticket. And we're going to raffle off, you know, one person wins, and you get two tickets to, you know, come to the game. You know, if
transportation,
hotel, all that.
Field passes, I understand. Is that correct?
Field passes, and you get there early. You get to hang out on the sideline while we warm up, you know. Then after the game, you get to come down to the family section and meet some of the players. And you can sign them a memorabilia. So it's going to be – it's legit. It's a very interesting and rare opportunity.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't get this in the team shop. This is big time. This is behind the scenes, right? So it's – look, once again, raffle starting at $10. Buy as many tickets as you want. It all goes to charity, right? omaze.com/Cardinals. omaze.com/Cardinals. And it all goes to the CRC Foundation and charity. And, you know, I know both of you guys, and you had an event earlier this week, right? I mean, just tell us about – okay. You guys are in the NFL, right? You're in the 99th percentile, okay? But now it's your chance to give back. And how important that has been from you almost since your rookie year. I mean, from the very get-go, that was very important to you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm a big little kid at heart, and I love being around kids. And, you know, you see so many kids out there who have needs, you know. And, you know, I mean, this event I had, you know, on Tuesday it was fun. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. You know, you take, you know, so many kids, you know, to pick out Christmas gifts for their family and themselves. And, I mean, you're just running around the store with a bunch of kids and just, I mean, laughing, having fun. I mean, kids are really uplifting. They really, you know, just give you a little, it makes you appreciate all the small things in life, you know. I miss being a kid.
And the great part about shopping with Calais, because I've witnessed this, Michael, is when it's on the very top shelf, and I mean way up there, right? Hey, Calais, over here, a little help. And he just comes over and boom, he just takes that right off the top and puts it right in the cart.
Oh, yeah. That
beautiful.
It's true. Yeah. I had, you know, my group was like 9-year-olds, and there was this cute little girl, and every time she needed something that was tall, she's come tapping my shoulder and point up, and I'm like, wow.
That's great. Oh, that is great. So as you guys get going here, and you got 4 games to go, Michael, sort of give us, you know, we're talking, you know, zoom out, big picture, you know, do you feel like you have to win out as you go down the stretch here in December towards a playoff push?
I think for sure we got to win out. And I think we have a chance to do that easily. Yeah, but
there is confidence in the room now that maybe he wasn't necessarily there in September, right? It's grown over the past couple of months, correct?
That's natural.
That's how it is. You know, you win some games, you start getting a little more confidence. I mean, you start seeing guys make plays, and you start believing, well, I mean, if they're going to play like that, and I play like I can, you know, we can do some damage.
Anything you learned? Was there any single takeaway from the Philly game? I mean, you only got a couple seconds here before, but, you know, anything you should remember going forward from that Philly game?
Yeah, we'd respond. You know, I think if we had another quarter, you know, we would end up, or even a couple more minutes, we'd end up winning that game. So I feel like responding is everything.
Okay, we roll on in the Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Michael Floyd, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Palmer takes another fade left side. This time it's on the money. And Fitzgerald makes the grab. Touchdown, Cardinals.
What a throw by Carson Palmer.
Snap to Palmer. He'll throw. Looks right. Throws a deep pass. Right side. End zone. It's caught. It's a touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald beat his man. And a beautiful throw by the new Cardinals quarterback, Carson Palmer.
Yep, that was week one at St. Louis. And a reminder, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo donates $500 to local public schools through the Passing Touchdown for Schools program. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. It is a Big Red Rage. Calais Campbell, Michael Floyd, Ron Wolfley, Paul Calvisi, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. And, okay, that was week one. Larry had a couple of touchdowns. You had 4 grabs, 82 yards receiving, Michael. And how are defenses different now? Because I sort of asked that question in the locker room with a couple of different guys today, and you know, you're seeing a little bit more attention from some of these secondaries now than maybe you were in week one of the season, correct?
Oh, yeah, and I think that just goes to, you know, making plays. And, you know, they see that on film, and, you know, they just can't double Larry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Carson sees that, and, you know, the ball gets distributed around a lot.
And it'll trickle down, obviously, right? Other guys, there's going to be opportunities, obviously, right?
Lots of opportunities.
You know, you're so good typically at getting off the press as well. Evaluate your own performance against press coverage, press man. Do you invite that? Do you want the corner to do that, walk up and put his hands on you?
If it's one high safety, 100% yes.
100% yes.
Yes.
You see that safe? Yeah. Two man, a little bit different, right?
Yeah, and just straight cover two. You know, they're just trying to slow you down from getting downfield quick. So, but also, you know, we usually have routes for me that when it's cover two, to be able to take advantage of the defense, I have certain routes to, you know, get me open.
Are you getting better, though? I mean, do you think you're improving in regard to getting off the press? Because you open up a world of goodness for guys like Larry Fitzgerald. It's not like Larry can't get off the press and get mm-hmm. down the field either. We all know that he can. But when you're getting off the press and getting down the field and making the plays you are, the defensive coordinator is strapping on the diaper, because now all of a sudden he realizes, right, that you are opening up all that underneath stuff for guys like Rob Housler and Larry Fitzgerald, right?
Yeah, when you do stuff like that, I mean, defensive coordinators, you know, they want to stay in, you know, I think the kind of defense where, you know, their, you know, defensive backs can have advantage and don't put them in being alone in certain spots. But when we do stuff like that, they do stuff out of the ordinary that they don't want to do. And that's when guys get exposed.
What sort of reaction? We were talking about the film room earlier, you know, and you talk about him being a physical receiver. When Andre Ellington goes on an 80-yard touchdown run and down the field providing key blocks, like 50 yards down the field, Michael Floyd and Larry Fitzgerald, that's got to get a reaction in the film room, Calais, right? And some respect, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's really what makes these guys special, is that they will block, you know, whistle to whistle. You know, I mean, some guys just try to do enough. You know, block you until the running back goes by and you stop and watch, you know. And they're paying for, you know, the best seats in the house, I guess. But, you know, guys like Michael Floyd here, I mean, he really, you know, he plays whistle to whistle. You know, if it's blocking, he's trying to block his dude to the sideline, take him all the way to the ground. I mean, I love it. That's what makes him special.
How much better can you get, Michael? How much better can you get as a football player?
I think I can get a lot better. And that's what just, you know, having experience around you. Being with Fitz and also Carson, and I think it all, you know, most of it is in the on the field, but also in the film room. You know, Carson takes me aside all the time, and if I'm not doing something right, you know, he tells me exactly how it should be done, because, you know, he's seen it years in and out. And Fitz also, you know, I'm kind of a visual learner, so, you know, that's a guy I watch all the time, and to see how he gets open and the things, kind of the hand moves he places on corners, I kind of put that in my own little repertoire.
Because you and Larry obviously go back a long ways, right? The Minnesota connection and all that, and even though you're many years behind him in your career, I guess you didn't have a chance to, you know, practice with him every day, obviously, you know, until you got to the Cardinals. So you're still learning stuff from watching number 11.
Oh, still. I mean, this is not – I don't know everything, you know, and him being, you know, 10 years in the game – he's seen everything. He's done everything. So all I can do is sit back and watch and just use it when the time comes for myself.
Do you think you're becoming more precise when you run routes? Do you think you're learning your craft better? And how much more do you have to improve?
Improve tremendously. If I want to be the kind of player I want to be, a Pro Bowl guy, a Hall of Famer, there's a lot to learn. And, you know, for example, Fitz is not the fastest guy.
Yes.
But he runs crisp routes. And, you know, you don't have to be fast in this game. I mean, Chris Carter wasn't fast. And, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Just making crisp, being good in technique and route running, you know, you can do it all.
You know, longtime Cardinals receiver Rob Moore, who had a great NFL career, had the pleasure of doing Cardinals broadcast many years ago with him. And we'd go out to practice, and he'd just look at all the receivers instantly, just based on how they ran routes. And that's how he would rank them. He would just, yep, that guy will make it in training camp. That guy, man, he won't. And he could just tell. He just based it. I had no idea what he's looking at. He was looking at the finer points and everything, how polished the guy was and the routes he ran. And that's how he would rank. And would be able to project how good a guy would be in the NFL, and 9 times out of 10, he was absolutely correct. It was staggering, his ability to do that. By the way, speaking of Larry, do you still have the keys to the guest house? You know, your rookie year, you spent part of your rookie year over there. You know, do you go over, use the lazy river at all? You know, do you occasionally drop
the lazy
by?
River.
You know,
I have the gate code, the gate lit up.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
So I can just get in.
I see.
You know, if I run out of water or, you know, Vita Coco, I just go and slide in the garage.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Refrigerator, grab some stuff.
You need a snack.
You know, is this pool really 2 acres?
I mean,
well, by legend, Paul.
All I know is, you can correct me if I'm wrong, there are Olympic-sized pools and there are Fitzgerald-sized pools. True or false?
Yes.
True.
True. There you go. We roll on. It is the Big Red Rage, Calais Campbell and Michael Floyd, all presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
This is 3rd and 9 for the St. Louis 19. Clemens in the gun. Big rush. Steps up to avoid it. Dumps it over the middle. Caught by Tavon. Head of steam. 30. 40.
Clears. Call.
And there goes Tavon Austin at the end zone for the third time today. That's an 81-yard touchdown. And this is a coming-out party for the rookie from West Virginia.
Keep dancing. It's your end zone. It's not just a first down play. It's a scoring play with Tavon Austin. He gets north and south in a blink.
Yeah, that's the first-round weapon, right? A year ago, as the Cardinals taking a first-round receiver, he joins Calais Campbell here tonight. Michael Floyd, our special guest in the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Tavon Austin is the big weapon for the Rams. So how much do you know about him? And I mean, your games don't have much in common. He is much smaller, right? And he's going to run out of the slot. And all. I mean, you guys are sort of anti, the antithesis of each other, right?
Much smaller, much faster. But he's explosive, and they use him on special teams and, you know, in the slot also where they can get advantages. But he's a good player.
And, you know, in the last month or so, the light has sort of come on for him. And they're using him a little differently from what I understand. He's not strictly in the slot anymore. They're moving him outside. You know, maybe that has a lot to do with it. But can you understand, Michael, if he looked at you and said, yeah, it took me a little while in the NFL, but now I'm comfortable and now I'm able to play instead of think? Because you went through some of that your rookie year, right?
Yes. I mean, just getting more reps. Getting comfortable in your own self. I mean, because college, the NFL is, you know, totally different, much faster game. And, you know, he's just feeling himself, feeling good. And, you know, I can't blame him. I feel the same way.
You know, Calais, the first time you guys played the Rams, at least by rumor, it was said that they wanted to be a throw-first team, that they wanted to be a pass-first team. And they certainly came out, and you could see that. You could see that early in the season. You could see it against us. They did run the ball over 24 times, actually 24 times in this game. But they are getting back to the run now, aren't they? They're doing a much better job of being balanced.
Yeah. I mean, they changed the whole system up. I mean, when Sam Bradford got hurt, I think, you know, they started to make it more just more, not even balanced in a sense, because it's really still a lot more runs than his passes. They only pass when they actually have to.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of this stuff is quick. You know, I mean, they really are trying to use Tavon Austin a lot more. You know, get the ball in his hands quick,
right.
Screens, reverses, trick plays. I mean, and then he can stretch the field and go deep, too. So, you know, I mean, but it's really, just run first, run. And if you stop the run, then we'll throw. But we don't really want to.
And what's it going to be like trying to tackle Zach Stacy? What is that going to be like? This guy's 5'8", 225 pounds.
Whoa.
Think about that for a minute. That is a speed bump with ears.
Yeah. I guess it reminds me a lot of Maurice Jones-Drew. You know, I mean, just the little stocky guys
who are
super quick and, you know, can break a lot of tackles. You know, but he really came into his own. I mean, I didn't really know much about him. You know, I mean, he didn't really play the first time we played him. And just out of nowhere, I mean, just got the ball in his hand, started making stuff happen, and now he's the number one guy. I mean, he's the number one guy we have to stop this week.
You know, whether it's, you know, whoever the smaller running backs are, even in Darren Sproles, and we always hear, oh, it's tough to see him in traffic. Is that true? I mean, when you're in there and you're a big D lineman and you're fighting off the double team, I mean, you're like, where is the guy? Where is he? Who's got the ball? Is it legitimately tough to find him?
Sometimes when you're really in an intense battle, usually like a stalemate, you know, and you're trying to, you know, find the ball. I mean, those little guys are hard to locate. But, you know, I mean, sometimes you have good instincts. You know, some of the guys you play long enough, you start getting a feel for it. You know, you got good instincts. You know, sometimes what they really teach you to do is, you know, just close off one gap with the guy and then make them back, force them to come to you.
You know, Michael, that's why Paulie was so good as a running back at San Jose. Yeah, growing up in San Jose. He's still a legend, as a matter of fact, in his high school because they couldn't find him. Nobody could see him. They handed the ball off to him.
Too bad they're rolling the music. I tell you guys some high school football stories over here. Paulie Pigskin, right? Yeah, Leland High School, the Mighty Fighting Chargers. You guys stick around after the show. I got a good couple hours worth of high school football stories. You guys can't wait to hear those.
They called him the Wolverine. That's all I can tell you, okay?
That's entirely enough. All right. Okay, quick reminder here. Cardinals single game tickets on sale now. Visit the University of Phoenix Stadium box office or Ticketmaster.com. Yes, Cardinals and Rams on Sunday. We roll on here as the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, Calais Campbell, and Michael Floyd.
Bradford takes, fakes the run, in his end zone, throws it, tipped, and picked off by Dan Williams, and he scores! Touchdown, Cardinals! Matt Shaughnessy tipped it, and the biggest guy on the field, Dan Williams, got his paws on it, picked it off, and it's a touchdown!
Oh, the dumpster opened the lid, and in went the pig! Dan Williams showing those soft, buttery hands!
Is he showing off that football? Have you been over to Dan Williams' house? I know you guys are close friends. Does he have that in a showcase up in the trophy case yet? That football?
He definitely has a football. That's like his pride and joy. You know?
That's what I thought. By the way, if people are scoring at home, okay, and Michael, you should be aware of this. Michael Floyd, special guest of Calais Campbell. The game after Dan Williams showed up on the Big Red Rage, boom, that's what happened. He scored a touchdown.
Yeah, you do it for a big game.
Okay? The game after Matt Shaughnessy appeared on this show,
that's
boom,
right.
Karma. He ended up in there. You know, this shouldn't be a I know Wolf sometimes is a hindrance in trying to get guests on the show, but it really shouldn't be a tough sell in the locker room, Calais.
It really shouldn't.
It really shouldn't.
I think Fitz, when he came, he had like.
You're right. He had a huge game, too. Absolutely. Jim Omohundro's nodding correctly. Yes, he knows. Absolutely. So there you go, Michael.
Yes.
Okay. And the Rams are missing, I know, at least one of their key corners, Cortland Finnegan. All right. You probably still hear him talking on the IR. That guy never. I mean, that guy's just always talking. You know, I mean, they have some feisty DBs. St. Louis. I mean, they play to the whistle and maybe even beyond at times. That's my takeaway from watching those guys twice a year.
Oh, yeah. Aggressive guys.
Yeah.
Not big at all.
No.
But they get after it, and they don't stop till the whistle's blown.
Is this a big man cover team when you watch them on film, Michael?
No.
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 Not a big man cover team.
A lot of cover two.
Tampa two?
Tampa two.
A lot of Tampa two. Yes. Going to bring five in a fire zone. Going to bring some of that on third down, I'd imagine.
They rely a lot on that front four. And that front four is really good.
Be careful when you say the words Tampa 2. Wolf likes to grease it up and get into the X's and O's, and then pretty soon you're in a two-hour explanation about the Tampa 2.
Please.
And you're looking at your watch about that. So how about for you guys when you look at the St. Louis offense there, Calais? And we talked about this a little bit earlier. Let's get back to it. I mean, the center is hurt. They call that the quarterback of the offensive line. How big a deal is that? And how much are you guys going to test the replacement, whomever that is?
Yeah, you know, I mean, naturally, when the guy goes down, the backup tends not to be as good as the starter. So you have to go, you know, test it and see how good he is. And, I mean, he's an NFL player, so he's still going to be good enough. But, you know, I mean, he's new. He's trying to figure it out. You know, I mean, you know, his head's going to be spinning. You know, and we're going to make sure that we send some blitzes away and just try to see, you know, what kind of player he is.
Well, we've gone the whole show without talking about the last time the Cardinals got a win in the division. And that was week one of last season. I know that's been a big talking point with the head coach, right? He's made that very clear this week, has he not?
Yes, he has. And we're due up. I mean, I think it's about time we got some wins, you know. I think three of them to finish the season would be nice.
No doubt. Hey, guests on the show receiving a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at J. Goldman Limited Jewelers in Phoenix, Paul Bensel Jewelers in Yuma, and Arizona Watch and Clock in Tucson. We wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, right after this. All right, here we go. The Big Red Rage wrapping it up at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford, Calais Campbell, special guest Michael Floyd. And so you guys are going in. You're coming home. You got four games to go. You're looking at this game in particular. And is it tough not to look at the last month in all four games? You know, I mean, do you have to find kind of train yourself and say, all right, look, we just got to start with this Sunday?
I mean, that's what it is. You know, it's one game at a time, you know, and I mean, each one is going to be tough, you know, but you do start, you know, they're at the point in the season where you start looking at the whole picture, you know, and I mean, in the division we're in, I mean, we know that, you know, every game is crucial. because, our goal is to get to the playoffs. I mean, that's our goal from day one. And, right now we're sitting in a situation where we really have to play good football week in and week out. But it starts with one. This right here is the most important game because it's the only one that we're really worried about. But you peak.
Michael, give me one thing the offense is going to have to do well. Just one thing that if you had to do anything, you do it well, what's that thing going to be?
Run the ball. And no turnovers.
No turnovers.
For the most part, when we don't have turnovers, we win the game.
Let me ask you this. Andre Ellington, when he's on that field, are you guys getting different defensive looks? I mean, are they sort of like, okay, wait a minute, there's a home run hitter on the field, Andre Ellington. Does that change things up and maybe loosen things up for some of you guys when 38's on the field?
Oh, yeah, that's just another guy that they got to worry about. It's totally different than having Mendenhall back there or right next to me out on in the slot. But it's a totally different guy. He's a shifty guy, great hands, and you can expose linebackers, with him being out there against them.
Calais, I'm smelling one of these three-sack games coming. I'm just saying. I know you're not saying. I'm just saying you've been so close. Oh, my gosh.
I'm due up. I mean, we need to win. And I feel like December's my month. I feel like every good player gets better as the season goes. And, it's the time. It's now or never.
And, by the way, Michael, we're going to count on you for 3 touchdowns, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
At least two.
Wow.
At least two. 2-1-15.
I think that was pointed at me.
Win.
All right, hey, special thanks, Jim O'Hunter, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird, everyone here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, the guys from Santan Ford, for Michael Floyd and Calais Campbell. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3,
and by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, boy? What's up, AC?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.